prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, and we're going to give you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, February 12, 2014, and I want to thank each and every one of you thank you for joining us, and hope you're staying warm. A lot of bad weather out there, and a lot of dire predictions on what can happen and what is happening to the south, to the southeast, which lots of freezing rain and ice and power outages. And, you know, I'll have to say hello first to Al, and I'm going to say I had a customer call me, and he just kind of got me a little cranky because he's calling from Mexico on the beach, 80 degrees. And I was like, you just called to rub it in, didn't you? And I know John, he listens to the program, you know, not to the live program, but after to the replay broadcast. And so I know he's listening, or he will be listening. And so.
What part of Mexico is he in?
Acapulco.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll deal with it. It makes us tough, I guess. And so I hope folks were tough out there today, and gold was tough most of the day, but had a little bit of weakening in the last moments of trade. You have gold, basically unchanged, $12.92. Silver is down 2 cents today at $20.32. Platinum was up $15 today, a little over 1% at $14.10, and palladium was up 1.25%, up $9 at $732. Dollar gained a little bit of strength today, 0.07, 80.69, and crude oil bumped back up over 100, up 0.32. In the paper markets today, we have... They tried to stay positive, but ended up or down 30 points at 15,964. The NASDAQ, that was up 4201, up 10 points, and the S&P unchanged at 1819. And the 10-year yield is beginning to creep back up, 0.04 at 2.76%. Oh...
Try not to express so much enthusiasm, Melody. It's just a beach. Life is a beach. You understand that? And just because he's on a real beach, and you're not, still, life is a beach.
Yes, it is. But he's warm enough that he's going to buy some gold, so that's a good thing. But
yeah.
But I was all fired up prior to the program because it's, things just become so frustrating. And it's just a sign of the times. And you begin reading these articles, they talk about the budget being approved and that it's down since the last 4 months. And it's just like, why don't they tell them taxes are up? That's why the budget's down, or the deficit, I should say. The deficit is down. Taxes are up. And I don't think it has much to do with somewhat of a recovery in the economy, but kind of reminds me of the Clinton administration. Well, everybody says that he had such a great economy, but, no one talks about how he stole from Social Security to get it that way. And a lot of things are so offline on the budget, and you just don't get any true numbers. So, and it's they talk so positive, Al, about the budget deficit dropping the 36%, and they talk about how good it's going to be until 2016, and that's just going to keep heading higher for the rest of the decade. And heaven forbid, when it gets into 2020, it's even going higher for the next 10 years. So
I doubt it.
Yeah, it's just
I doubt it. I think. It's the problem you have with government. I don't mind that government makes mistakes per se. That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't really aggravate me all that much. But what you really have, what bothers me, is the dishonesty that is blatant, obvious, undeniable. They lie about the inflation rate, the unemployment rate. They're going to promise you that things are going to be great. 2016, we're going to have our minimum budget deficit. It'll go up to 2020 or whatever. I think it's all bunch. They just pump this stuff out like people writing for TV dramas that have to go on the air every week. We need another script. Somebody write the script. What's the script for next week? What's the script for the week after that? Do they have any bearing on reality? Someone ought to give these guys, they have to award an Oscar or something like that for the best fictional story written and created by government in the past year. There should at least be one Oscar. And the truth is, they ought to have one a week. For who's got the best bucket of excrement that they're going to try to pass off on the American people.
But why they can, Al? Because the numbers don't matter anymore. People have become so numb to these numbers. And it's like, who cares? Hey, look what happened back 6 months ago, 7 months ago, when they shut down the government. Woohoo, 16 days. What happened? It didn't affect the people out there. It did, but they don't know it.
There's a story from back prior to the American Revolution. And this is a true story. King George was so upset with the colonists in this country that he decided he would show them. He'd teach him a lesson, and he shut down the entire government, right? And he assumed that the people is, oh, my gosh, we can't make it without government. And then he got reports from his own agents and whatever, and said, no, the people are doing fine. In fact, they're prospering without government, and we'd better get it started up again before they absolutely realize they don't need us. Well, the same is true in this country today. It's hard to imagine that we could get by without any government. I'm not going to even advocate that myself, but we could certainly get by with a lot less. We have much government. It's choking us.
It's not even the amount that we have. It's what they're doing. I mean, yes, we do need a government. We do need things, but certainly not to the degree. But again, to me, it's people. We've come to, and yes, people have been placed in these positions because of decisions that come out of Washington. But I mean, it is what it is. This is where we're at today. And people have become numb to these numbers. They don't seem to mean anything. So you can screw them and give them any number that you want.
We have a new kind of an illness. It may be something that the psychiatrists and psychologists are going to want to reference in their manual. I can't remember a domestic something manual. I can't recall the name they used where they categorize. We've got number numbness. All right. So we'll keep your eyes peeled, ladies and gentlemen. If you see anyone who's suffering from number numbness.
And just the day they come out, with, dropping the deficit 36% through the first 4 months, Washington signs the executive order raising the minimum wage for the federal contractors to $10.10. Now, we did talk about this, and it is just a small amount of people that it does affect by just a few hundred thousand workers. I mean, this is an election ploy. This is a,
It's a gesture. That's all this is.
But it will stick in people's minds. It will stick in people's minds, saying that, because the most people who hear that this executive order was signed raising minimum wage do not understand that it is only truly affecting a few hundred thousand people. And, they think it's a great thing.
I think a lot of people get it. I don't know how many people. Some people, it's always the way that some people don't pay close attention. They don't follow things closely. They don't look for depth. They just see the what's superficial, what's on the surface. That's all they need, and they run with that. I get that. But there's other people, and maybe more of them, who are picking up on this and starting to look into the depths rather than just the surface. We've got, where is it? Here's the money. I'm trying to see. I know I've got an article that touches on that for today, but I can't recall which one it is right now. So what else we have, Melanie? What else would we like to talk about?
Rand Paul.
All right, go ahead.
They're suing the Obama administration over NSA surveillance. And a Tea Party-backed group, they're suing the administration over the NSA's phone record collection policies. Paul says that the suit is filed for themselves and on behalf of all Americans who are or have been customers of phone service in the U.S. since 2006. FreedomWorks, along with a senator, are represented by former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. Now, is this what happens when you lose the election to be the Virginia governor? You get involved and kind of get a little bit of a get back at you.
A little of that, and keeps your name in lights. And who knows? You might not be governor of Virginia or the governor of Virginia, but you might have a shot at being the vice presidential nominee in 2016. Or who knows? You can find something else to do in the meantime.
So it's not a matter of, if you can't win the election, you sue them.
It's a good idea.
Hey.
We ought to be able to sue politicians who run. For example, when George Bush Sr. ran and he said, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he got in and he raised taxes. He said, I thought again. I think we ought to be able to charge these guys on their promises. The campaign promises they make when they run for office should be like advertising on a bottle of aspirin or something like that, or some other drug. If they say it can do a certain thing and it turns out that's fraud, then somebody needs to pay for that. We can't just sit back and say, oh, we'll get them next time they run for election. No, we won't. They need to be held liable for their lies, and they're not. I don't know how we could do it, and I don't expect it to happen, but I think in a perfect world, politician lied, bang, he would be held liable.
Yeah, really, Al.
Sue him. You're lying. Sue him. Fraud.
But you know what? You talked about the budget deficit, or not the budget deficit, but the minimum wage as being a gesture. Is this just another, keep our names, the election is coming up, 2016, I might be running for president, at least maybe these people will, remember me that at least I tried to stand up. I mean, they couldn't do anything about Obamacare.
Remembered for that.
They can't do anything about Obamacare.
I think I can do something about Obamacare. I don't think you can enforce it against me.
And, those who are Republicans and who think the Tea Party will be able to get Republicans in there coming up in this election this year just because of how poor Obamacare has been.
Well, they want
introduced.
Obamacare to continue.
That's not going to do anything. That's not going to.
No, I think it will.
No, it won't. The Republicans
it
have no idea.
Major, it's going to have an effect. It can't help but have an effect. It might not be decisive, but it's going to have an effect.
Republicans have no idea how to win against the Democrats.
Yeah, that's not true. Mm. They, you know, right now, it's not true in part because the Democrats are so concerned. Those people, those congressmen and senators who were up for election in 2014 are distancing themselves from Obama.
But they do that with...
They understand that he's a liability to the Democrats.
And they did that with Clinton. They did that with Bush. They do it with every...
Yeah, I get that. With every idiot that we elect to the White House. Everybody who's an idiot in the White House, who they try to back away from. That may be true, but regardless, it does point out that there is an effect here that both sides recognize. This is not, you know, Obamacare is the principal reason that people are backing away from Obama right now. And it's also the principal reason why he doesn't want, it's the Affordable Care Act.
And why do you believe...
It's not Obamacare. Don't say Obamacare.
And why do you think they extended the medium businesses, they gave them another year?
No, because that was all because of the election. They don't want any more... They don't want any more resistance than they absolutely have to.
It's all because of the election.
Oh, I agree. And they don't want, if it turns out that Obamacare doesn't apply to you and doesn't apply to me, then it won't be an issue for you and me in this next election. If it turns out that it is an issue for you and me, then we're liable to get up on our soapbox and say, ha ha, it has to be stopped.
No, that ain't going to happen.
Well, we've got a little divide and conquer thing going on here. We're just going to give Obamacare a little bit at a time. We'll give a little of these people and a little of these people and later a little of these people. And we won't ever get enough people into this at the same time where the whole country goes up for grabs and they all start complaining. Divide and conquer. That's all.
Well, here's another, since we're talking about Obamacare, Pittsburgh-based health insurer Highmark Inc. has laid off 132 workers in its information technology and sales section, information technology. I would think information is customer service and sales. Of course, you don't need salespeople anymore to sell your product because you got the government selling it for you. But they're going to lay off 65 of those jobs are in Pittsburgh, and the rest of them are in Camp Hill and other offices. And, of course, this is part of a, quote-unquote, restructuring to increase efficiencies and streamline operations.
Yeah, in other words, they're going broke.
Hi, Mark.
That's why we have restructuring. That's why we have debt restructuring. They call it restructuring, and what it is robbery. What it is, debt restructuring, is when the government owes you $1 million, and they restructure the debt where you agree to accept $300,000 as payment in full for the $1 million. Now, this is a voluntary choice you make. You accept the $300,000 rather than the $1 million. And why do you volunteer to do that? Because if you don't, you won't even get the $300,000. They make you an offer that you can't refuse. It's like dealing with the mafia. They call it restructuring. The mafia Don, what was his name? Corleone. He makes you an offer you can't refuse. It's debt restructuring.
Highmark has about 5,000 employees. Get this. They plan to create 96 new information technology jobs. Well, didn't they just can technology jobs? So they create new technology jobs? He says those will be different than those cut and require workers with different qualifications.
Like what will their different qualifications be, Melody?
Lower.
Lower wages.
Lower wages.
That'll be their different. That'll be the difference in their qualifications. Are you willing to work for $10 an hour rather than $20 an hour?
Less hours.
Then you're
part-time.
Qualified.
Part-timers.
Yeah. Tell you what, we've got to take a break. We've got commercials coming at us and the listeners. Take a break for about 3 minutes. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Battisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we got some great prices for gold and silver coins. Take advantage of them. Call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at DGScoins.com. That's DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. It does come out on Mondays, and lots of things going on. And
here's one that's just interesting to me, just a little headline from Market Watch, and the headline is "Gold Rises for Sixth Session, but $1,300 Still Elusive." Gold futures once again settled higher on Wednesday, running in the streak of gains to six, but failed to reach the key $1,300 an ounce level. Gold has failed once again, Melody. But you know what's interesting to me about this is... It's just interesting to me the way the headline is structured and the language they use. 2 weeks ago, gold's elusive technical barrier was $1,255. And oh man, is gold going to break through it or not? Or would it be stopped? And now the elusive technical barrier is $1,300. And what do you suppose the new and improved technical barrier will be next week or next month? You know, it's too early to say for sure that gold's bull market has resumed. All right, we've had 6-7 weeks of good times in the gold business, in the gold market right now, for those of you who are invested in gold. It's too early to say the bull market is back for sure, but if gold rises for another 30 days, gold is up 30 days from now, all right, up 30, 40, 50 bucks. I think a lot of people will pretty much agree. It still won't be proof, but a lot of people will pretty much agree that the bull is back. Gold is once again going to resume its upward climb, and it may be that the bottoms are behind us now. The recent bottoms down in terms of 1,100 and so on in the gold market, it may be, you can forget that, maybe. We'll watch and see. But we are certainly at a time when we can be encouraged. We can hope it's going to work that way. So, what else, Melody?
Well, I don't think the bull ever went away. I just think he took a breather. As long as we have a fiat currency, I mean, there isn't anything else. Things haven't changed for gold. Yeah. And in order to preserve your wealth, and I think there's a couple of topics that we'll need to touch on either tomorrow or Friday's program, maybe Friday since we have a full three segments, is shares, mining shares. And, you know, I get lots of calls on people don't know what to do with their gold. It's like, well, I buy gold, and what am I going to do with it? And I don't know if, you know, it's, you know, maybe
what
I'm just getting...
What do you do with the potatoes when you buy them or the steak when you buy them? You save them. You put them in the refrigerator. You put them in the pantry, whatever.
But what's interesting is the people that are promoting this sort of commentary, and this is what he told me. He says, well, he says, these so-called experts tell me not to buy gold because what am I going to do with it? And I says, well, who are these experts? Well, they're financial planners. It's these people who want to put you into paper.
Yeah.
Will tell you these things. Mm-hmm. Why you don't want gold. What are you going to do with it? It just sits there. It's not going to do anything for you. And always look to...
like a paper dollar. Now, does
Yes.
A paper dollar will do things for you. It's lost close to 100% of its value. All right? It's lost over 95% of its value in the last 40 years or so. Oh, that'll do something for you. Mm-hmm. While it's just sitting there, that's the idea behind this. At the same time, the price of gold has increased. I don't know what from $35 an ounce on up to now almost $1,300 an ounce is today's price and rest, that sort of thing. I don't know what the math is on that. It has increased multiple times, several 100%. Huh? Well, the dollar has lost 95% of its value. You know, when you listen to people, they will say, I've heard intelligent people that they object to gold. And they say, you can't, what are you going to do with it? You can't eat it. You can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. Can you eat your stock certificates? Can you eat your bonds? You know, some of these arguments are just flat out stupid. Gold does great things. And one of the things it does is it preserves your wealth over time. And that's one thing that you are absolutely, positively guaranteed not to take place with paper dollars or paper debt instruments like stocks, bonds, pension funds, savings accounts that are denominated in dollars. Because the paper dollar is losing value to inflation, so are all of your paper debt instruments. You can point to the end of the year and say, oh, my stock did great. I made 10% on my original investment. Well, that's pretty good. But by the time you get done, what is the real rate of inflation in this country? Government will tell you it's down 2-2.5%, something like that. Other people are calculating, no, it may be closer to 9%. How much are you really making? Even after, just got an article here, an extended article we won't get into today, but... one of the analysts is pointing out that even after the significant decline we saw in the price of gold starting in 2011, even after that, gold has increased by an average of 13% per year for 13 or more years. It has been the single best investment in the last decade, even after suffering a significant loss in the last 18 months or so. I mean, you know, realistically, it can't all be up. There's going to be some downs, but what is the trend? 13% a year, even after the significant losses we've seen in the last, that are now reversing and whatever? No.
Fundamental.
Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. At this time, you cannot beat gold. And you might be able to get a better investment for a month or for a couple of weeks or days or whatever. I understand that. You know, if you can bet right and you're in the right time frame, you can do well in different investments. But long term, nothing matches. Nothing compares to gold for the last 13 years.
Inflation's not going away.
No.
I mean, I saw a big headline on a website, this person's name, and the biggest depression ever is coming, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but when you read it, you know, he talks about, you know, the dollar getting stronger, gold going lower. Now, don't buy gold, but if you read the bottom line and the fine print, all he's pushing is paper. Mm. He wants to get you into paper. Inflation is not going away. I don't care what, I don't care if we're in deflation.
No,
whatever.
We're going to go into, deflation, the whole thing folds up.
Yeah.
Deflation will kill the entire economy and destroy
that. Doesn't mean gold's going down.
No. What happens, during deflation, periods of deflation, prices for commodities go down. Prices for everything goes down during a period of deflation. But we cannot reasonably expect to see a period of deflation that is going to last for any significant length of time. And the reason is because deflation makes debts larger. With inflation, you repay the debt with cheaper dollars. Everybody's heard this who's bought a home. You get a mortgage, you take it out. When you're done with it, you're paying off the debt with cheaper dollars. Hooray. All right? You go into deflation, you pay off your debt with more expensive dollars. The government is the biggest debtor in the world, bar none. It doesn't want more expensive dollars. The government needs inflation to reduce the real size of the national debt. They say it's $17 trillion. I don't believe that's true. It's probably 85, 90 trillion. The Congressional Budget Office says it's 200 trillion, including over 200 trillion, including unfunded liabilities. But let's just say 17 trillion. If we have inflation, the government will still pay $17 trillion, at least in theory on the debt, but the dollars will only be worth maybe 90 cents compared to what they're worth today. And the result is the government gets to rob its creditors by means of inflation. And that's what the government wants to do. That is exactly why the value of the dollar has fallen 95% since 1971. It's not an accident. It's what they want. You couldn't have a persistent loss in the value of the dollar unless that was government's policy. They want inflation. They want the dollar to become worth less. And they cause that to happen, although they try to conceal it by also artificially suppressing the price of gold. Gold is one of those indicators. It's like the thermometer in the room that tells you if it's getting hotter or it's getting colder. Government manipulates the thermometer. They hold a little match under it. When it's actually, you know, 50 degrees in the room, they hold a little match under the thermometer. And the thermometer says it's 85. Must be you. You think it's cold. No, the government said, no, it must be you because here's the thermometer. Read the thermometer. Other times when it's too hot, they'll hold an ice cube under the bulb on the thermometer. And you'll say, God, I'm sweating to death here. And the government says, oh, no, it's cool. 60 degrees. Look what it says on the thermometer. And people believe that in sufficient numbers where the government is allowed to continue with this scheme. But the truth is, the government's not reporting how hot it is. They're not reporting how cold it is. And they are intentionally manipulating the numbers in order to deprive us of fundamental, honest information on which we could make intelligent decisions. So you got to look and try to figure out what are the honest numbers. And insofar, they're trying to, why are they doing this? They want to conceal the inflation. Don't believe, we have only 2% inflation. It's not 9%. Which I believe John Williams, I think he's up around 9%, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's not that. No, it's only 2%. Well, they're lying so they can reduce the debt. And all I'm trying to get across and repeating myself repeatedly is that government wants inflation. As long as government breathes, as long as government has any power at all, and it's the biggest debtor in the world, it will want inflation. they're going to work to make it happen. Now, it may be that the forces in the market can overcome government power. It may be that we do go into a legitimate depression and we see an era of deflation when prices actually start to fall. It could happen. But if it happens, the value of the debt becomes greater and the government is already teetering on the edge. If we go into deflation, the government folds. I think the national debt has to be repudiated. And what does that mean? It means that those of you that are holding on to paper debt instruments, U.S. bonds, or other paper debt instruments that are ultimately at least associated with and perhaps dependent upon the national debt. When that thing goes under and they say, we can't pay this, guess what? What do you think the value of your stocks are going to be? And your bonds, and your pension funds, and your Social Security, and the cash? In the last Great Depression, cash was king. Huh? If you had cash, you could buy anything. And it was cheap if you had money. But what was the cash in the Great Depression? It was paper dollars that were backed by gold up until 1933. Depression started in 29. First 4 years, the cash was backed by both gold and silver. And after they took gold out of the market, then it was backed by silver. The real cash that was king during the Great Depression was gold and silver. They took gold out, but they left the silver in. I believe you'll see the same thing even if we see another depression. If we see it, I don't believe that the price of gold is going to go down in the same sense that it goes down as a commodity. I believe gold will become more valuable. You will be able to buy more homes, more cars, more land, more food with an ounce of gold in the context of the Great Depression or a greater depression than you can right now. I think it'll become more valuable. From my perspective, and I can't prove it, and I can't say it's God's truth, but from my perspective, if we don't have a depression, we're going to see inflation, 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 gold's going to be more valuable. If we do see a depression, we are going to see cash is king, and the cash will be gold and silver, and they will both become more valuable. I don't think you can mess with gold right now. I know we can have our ups and downs, and within any period of weeks or months or even a year or two, you might have a downstroke. But if you're in it if you're making your investments based on you expect to have what you will have in terms of 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, there's nothing else out there that I'm able to see, understand, or imagine that's better than gold. Ta-da.
Ta-da. We have all a right. Caller.
Okay.
Jim from West Virginia.
Oh, Jim.
I'm back. Yeah, $35 to $1,300, that's 37 times. That's 3,700% return insofar as Federal Reserve notes are concerned. So name something else which has gone up that much, okay? I don't think so. There are a couple of real simple points which people seem to miss a lot. I always have all these non-believers, TV heads, what have you.
Why would they want to crash the economy?
Well, it's real simple. They sit there, and every so often they crash the economy so they can buy up real stiff for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And
well, they can wipe out their own debt. They can wipe out their own debt. Yeah. That's what they want.
Whether they crash it, whether they crash it with a slow grind inflation or what. The bottom line is they want to crash the economy. It amazes me that you have a bank in the business of manufacturing currency that they charge interest on, and it goes belly up. How could that possibly go belly up? Well, they make for dang sure it goes belly up with tremendous amounts of fraud just to crash the economy. The goal is
I'll tell you what. Why don't you hold that thought about fraud, Jim, and we're going to take a break for some more commercials. And we'll be right back. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom and Jim from West Virginia. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And we've got Jim from West Virginia on the phone, and he was talking about fraud. What more do you have to say about fraud, Jim?
Well, basically, they will do anything to crash the economy. They'll close the banks. They'll do anything. The goal is to crash the economy so they can buy a PIF for very, very little. Also, there's another, we're headed for the perfect economic storm. Bond insurance company failure a few years back. Interest rates go up, there goes the stock market. But there's another factor which most people aren't really aware of unless they look at the long view. And this is from other people who have gone through everything from banks or collapses, regime changes to revolutions. When the first social unrest starts appearing, foreign money flees that country, and their stock markets go crash. And that's when everybody sells out and tries to head for the hills or whatever. But there is, we're already losing foreign investment. But when things start getting real interesting, like if we start having food riots and who knows what this spring or whatever, the stock market has no choice except to crash. They always crash. They sometimes go down to 1% of their volume. Wasn't it, Rothschild, 1815, stock market crash in London? He had somebody go on the stock market floor and say, folks, we lost at the Battle of Waterloo. And wham, that stock market went down to 1%, so he bought up England based on that lie. Yeah. Expect lies, folks. Now, something else. I remember when Financial News Network went on air, and I never had cable TV. I'm not a TV person at all. I said, I got to get it, got to get it, got it. My dad says, here's what I want you to do. You start doing some imaginary paper trading. In other words, imagine you bought this and see what happens with it based on their advice. They would get there and pump up a particular stock. Yeah, it'd go up for a while, but then within a period of time, it would go down below. It may take it a couple months, but where they were touting it. So that was my first big lesson on financial advisors. Now, he had previously taught me how to analyze stock on my own. And if the price was going down, realize it was being manipulated down, wait till it hit bottom, buy it, and ride. But I never had bought any newsletters or anything like that, except we all get the Wall Street Journal. Well, he'd get them along to me. But, boy, I tell you what, financial advisors, oh, there's one gentleman who, distant relative, thought the world of him, and he done pretty well for me. But he's a stockbroker, and I hit him about 4 or 5 years ago. I said, you do know the Federal Reserve is private, because my dad knew it, and I was sure that my dad had told this fellow, because they had taken the Forbes stock course together. And he says, well, that's just your opinion. And I thought to myself, oh, I cannot believe that you lied to me. I also said, whenever I buy stock, do they actually go out and buy the stock? Oh, yes. Well, somebody said, I tell you what, you ask for the certificate itself, just not a statement from them at the moment, and then you look at the date, and you will find that they don't do that. I asked another question. I said, do you guys push what you have on the dump or not? He said, no. And I also found out from somebody inside of Wall Street that that simply was not true for that particular stockbroker. So I trust this guy. But financial advisors are there for them, not for you. And I think I probably said too much.
You've said enough. We get it. And it's one of these things, and the reality is this. You've got to really make your own decisions, all right? And you have to, you can listen to people speak like I'm speaking right now. But you really have to, what we try to do on this program is not just tell people what to do. We try to explain the reasons for doing it. And the reasons are not because I say so or because Melody says so. It's because we see what we regard as solid, fundamental reasons to act in a particular way. And at the point in time when I don't see those fundamentals anymore, you know, I recommend, of course, this is this program. We promote this, the sale of gold. But I guarantee you that the moment comes when I don't think that's solid advice, I'm not going to give it anymore. I'm trying to tell you, here's the reasons why. It's not just because we say so. And you folks who are listening, you have to consider these reasons, hopefully, and you'll sit back and say, well, this is what they say. Let's see. Let's see. Does this make sense or not? And if it does, then buy gold. And if it doesn't, then make whatever best decision you can. But my point is, you must take personal responsibility for your investment decisions. Can't do it because I say so, Melody says so, or Frank from, or Jim from West Virginia says so. You've got to make up your own mind, because you're the one who's going to pay the price. You know, you make a bad decision, you're the one who's going to pay the price. You make a good decision, you're the one who's going to reap the reward.
And you know, Al, we could use the two fundamental reasons people usually move themselves into making a decision, fear and greed. And we don't use fear and greed. We use truth. And just as what you explained, we could use sensationalism we could add a lot more sensationalism to this program to make people go into gold and silver. But we just as you described, and you hear so much, a lot of these newsletter writers and promoters of shares and this and that. I mean, you read their little promotions they send out, and hey, you're ready to sign on the line because it sounds so good to be true.
You have to be able to distinguish between the truth, the facts, the fundamentals, and the sales pitch. Because could be that they're completely different. It may be that the facts and the fundamentals are considerably different from the sales pitch you're receiving. You've got to, learn to distinguish.
Well, one thing that we didn't talk about, we talked about the deficit, the budget, but we didn't talk about the approval of the debt ceiling.
All right, go ahead.
They signed that today. You had... and again, it's the same old McConnell, and you have Boehner, who just, that was amazing.
I don't know why he's there.
I know.
Colonel Sanders, I think they're going to hold him up for the front man for the Republican Party, even after he can't cook any more chicken. He's still going to be there. I don't know. Why do they keep this guy around?
I know. But, he wasn't the only one. But, they went ahead, and I guess it's good until there's no limit. They just opened it up until, March 15th of next year. So,
There's no specified limit?
No, there's no specified limit.
And in other words, then the debt ceiling, I think you told me earlier, has been suspended. There's no limit. There's no debt ceiling.
Yep, he can borrow as much money.
If he can find the fool. See, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I wrote an article about this maybe 2 years ago. I don't remember, 18 months, talking about the debt ceiling. Turns out we're the only country in the world. There might be one other one, but we are basically the only country in the world who has a debt ceiling for government. Virtually every other government in the world can borrow as much money as it wants, whenever it wants, and it's not impaired by a debt ceiling. And I predicted back then that we're going to get rid of the debt ceiling. All right, it's going to go. And if they have said they can borrow however much they want for the next year or whatever without a debt ceiling, that's where we're headed right now. The debt ceiling is going to disappear. And my guess is if it's been effectively suspended and there is no ceiling, there is no limit for the next year, when it rolls around a year from now, they're just going to say, let's get rid of it. And it's not going to be a surprise because no other country or virtually no other country in the world has a debt ceiling. They're going to now be caught with reality. And where it becomes interesting is say, well, we would like to borrow, as long as we don't have a debt ceiling, let's borrow another $20 trillion to stimulate the economy. Well, that's a very interesting idea. They claim to have a $17 trillion debt. We could borrow another $20 trillion. Okay, from who or whom? Who's going to lend you that money? You know, there's a flip side on this. It's not enough whether you have a debt ceiling or you don't have a debt ceiling. Who is dumb enough to lend more money to the federal government? Yeah, we're here. We're open for business. Anybody wants to lend me $20 trillion, step up. Maybe nobody's going to step up. You're going to see that the debt ceiling is not something to be... It's not something that provides resistance based on a level established by Congress. You may now find a different kind of debt ceiling that's established by the free market. People just say, no, we're not going to lend you any money. For what? You're not paying any interest, for God's sake. We know you're going to have, untold, we're going to have some substantial inflation, and it's going to ruin, you're going to rob us of our principal. So we'll see. Now that they have no debt ceiling, let's see how much money they can actually borrow. It'll be interesting to find out.
But it's an interesting, these guys up there. But you had Sessions, Jeff Sessions. He's the ranking Republican on the Senate Budget Committee. He says the clean debt ceiling increase will grow nothing but the debt and will only make life harder for working Americans. I think the House, it cleared the House a 221 to 201 vote, and Obama's expected to sign it into law. But
of course he is.
Yep.
It's like having your folks give you a new MasterCard or something like that.
No.
Yippee, baby, I got a $50,000 limit on my credit card. Let the good times roll.
Hey, does that sound like deflation or inflation, Al?
That's going to be inflation.
Absolutely.
That's what they'll be looking for.
Absolutely. So when you hear these yahoos talk about deflation, just think of
it. Can happen.
It can.
There's an argument to be made, but it's not going to last. I mean, we are caught in a bizarre situation where sooner or later the inflation is going to finish us off. The dollar's value is going to fall so low that nobody's going to want it. If the inflation continues, we are in deep doo-doo. If we go into deflation, and some people think we can, and it's not impossible, again, we're in deep doo-doo. We are caught in the between a rock and the hard place of the fundamental fraud of a debt-based monetary system and the fundamental fraud of a fractional reserve banking system. How can you use debt-based instruments, paper instruments, and treat them as wealth, as assets? It just doesn't make good sense, and that's what we're doing. We've got these pieces of paper, and they are nothing but promises, and we are treating them as if they are legitimate assets. Does it make sense? Is it logical? Is it rational? No. It works well for a while. It works very well for a while. People make a bunch of money and they get rich. Government gets more powerful. Banks make a fortune and the rest of that sort of thing through fractional reserve banking and through fiat currencies, paper debt instruments. It's a wonderful system for banks and for government for a while. But eventually, it piles up to a point where you can't stand the fraud. The system collapses under the weight of its own fraud. And when it does, those of you that are holding on to gold and silver have a shot. You got a chance to not only survive, but perhaps even prosper. In the midst of that collapse, it'll be dirty and ugly and messy and dangerous, and no one will enjoy it. But in the midst of that kind of collapse, Jim was talking earlier about a situation where the stock market collapsed in 1815 when someone reported, one of the Rothschild agents reported that the British had lost to Napoleon at Waterloo, and the English stock market collapsed, and Rothschild walked in and bought up the market for pennies on the dollar. The reality is this. We are headed for a time when we're going to see a big disruption in our economy, maybe a collapse, not necessarily the same thing that Rothschild saw momentarily in the stock market back in 1815, but something like that. And those of you who have real money at that time are going to have an opportunity to buy homes and businesses and automobiles and whatever else rings your bell. Food. Things you need, things you want. You'll have that chance if you have real money, if you have real savings. If you don't, you know, you're going to do, we're all going to have a difficult time. But those who have nothing are going to have a very difficult time. What have we got left?
We
have 60 seconds left, and we have David calling from Indiana. David, we got 60 seconds.
Hey, I was wondering, can you have like a split economy where you'd have inflation overseas on the dollar and deflation domestically?
I don't doubt that that's possible. You know, inflation and deflation, we talk about it, but it's an average. There are some prices that are going down at any given time, and there's some prices that are going up. And what you do is you average all of these prices together, and then you find out the net, is it net inflation or net deflation? It happens that way. There can be pockets of deflation right now, pockets of inflation right now. You know, so there's an average. There's an averaging that takes place there. But, David, we got to thank you for your question. We are out of time, so we've got to say goodbye to David. Goodbye to you, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.